there's a spiritual thing that happens with us as believers, is that from time to time, it seems like, and I've noticed this in the body of Christ over the years, is that different phases go through the church. People are into this for a while and that fades, and then something else comes along and we follow after that, and then we do this, and it kind of goes in patterns. And I always look at every morning when I get up as it's a new morning of a new day, and God's mercy is anew every morning. Well, how does that benefit me? And what is this thing about the resurrection? What are the benefits? And I have 9 that I discovered, but I'm only going to give you the 3 that are the foremost. You know, as we started with the opening scripture, Paul said, "That which I delivered first to you." So, one of the things that is the most important to us as believers, and we don't have to preach to the choir, if you will, is if we didn't believe in the resurrection of the Lord, it's probably a greater chance that we wouldn't even be here today. We'd be off doing something else. And every religion has its God, but only Christianity has its Savior. And so it's because of Him that we come together. And if there were no resurrection from the dead, there'd be no Christians. I mean, who wants to follow a dead Savior? And I think of Muhammad, as great a prophet as he is, you can go to his grave and his bones are still there. You can go to Confucius's grave and Buddha's grave, great, great people in their time, and you find their remains in the grave. But you go to Jerusalem, where Jesus was buried, and there's nobody home. And there was some dispute. There were two places in Jerusalem that were in question about which one was the one that Jesus was in. And I've come to the conclusion that it doesn't really matter, because he isn't in either of them. So, if there were no resurrection, Jesus was the firstborn from the dead to give us a living hope. And the people of the time that lived and walked and saw Jesus in the flesh and believed on him, they followed what they saw. But we who came along later, having never seen and yet believe, what is the power that holds that all together? What is the one central theme that we believe in? Romans 10:9-10 talks about key things that we need to believe. Number one, that Jesus is the Son of God. Number two, that he shed his blood on the cross for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And number three, that God raised him from the dead. And the Word of God says that if we will believe those three things in our heart and confess them or speak them from our mouths, the Bible says we'll be saved. So his resurrection is absolutely vital to the follow-up of the crucifixion. And if you remember the biblical account, I never struggle with trying to come up with a new Easter message every year, because it's the same story. Why do we have to fix it? It's kind of like, if it works, leave it alone. Don't fix it. There's nothing wrong with that message. Because it's the power of God unto salvation. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. But you remember something significant happened when Mary first came to the tomb and she saw the angels and saw what she perceived to be the gardener. And when Jesus called her by name and she went to bow down and embrace him, and suddenly he said, "Touch me not, for I've not yet ascended unto my Father." That's a scripture that I don't hear a lot talked about, but I want to talk about that scripture that isn't talked about much, because I like to talk about things that aren't talked about much that are very significant. If Mary, as holy as religion makes her to be, had touched Jesus at that moment, She, being also born and carried the Adamic sin all the way through history, all of mankind, had she touched him at that moment, she would have contaminated the sin offering. Now, this is very important because something else happened during that period of time. He told her, "You go tell the disciples that I have risen." While she was gone, Jesus also left. He took his blood, ascended to heaven, applied the blood of the sins of the whole world on the mercy seat in heaven, and forgiveness and remission of sins was provided for every living human being, all that ever lived, all that are living, and all that ever will live. That was the significance of that moment. Had he not been raised up, he would never have made that provision possible. That's very important because the Bible talks, they use this word justified. Justified is a shortened word for just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if you never sinned. To be justified by faith in the finished work of the cross. What were Jesus' last words? Did he not say it is finished? There's nothing more that will be accomplished that hasn't already been accomplished. All of the promises of God, all of the things that are coming, all come through the cross. Every blessing, every hope, every promise that we have comes through the cross. If Jesus had not been raised up, then we of all people would certainly be truly the most foolish people on this planet. And surely we would be worthy of all the mocking. Well, we're worthy of all of it anyways because we do believe in those things. The fact that he overcame death. Look at what happened to Lazarus while Jesus was alive. Lazarus was raised from the dead and the religious people wanted to put him to death. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's a hard heart right there. Religion hardens people's hearts. Christianity softens your heart and gives you a heart of flesh, where you have compassion and mercy for hurting people. Religion doesn't have that. This thing about the resurrection is a powerful truth. You know, I don't have to give you every scripture in the Bible. You all know at the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know how it ends. We win. He wins. But just some little things that make it important. It's the most important. All of Christianity hinges on that. Actually, the future of the entire universe hinged on the fact that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible teaches us that the same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in each one of his believers. You think you can't say no to stuff? You think you can't say yes to some things? That you can't do it? The words of "I can't" are a person that doesn't know Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. His Spirit dwells within you. And we don't have to participate in the things that are not appropriate for us to participate in. We can say no and back it up. There are things that we can embrace that are good for us spiritually and healthy for us. Those we can embrace. And it's the power of his resurrection that gives us the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't come to indwell us until Jesus was resurrected and ascended to the Father, and he told his disciples that it's expedient or it's necessary. I need to do this. Because if I don't, then my Father cannot send the Holy Spirit who will dwell in you and live in you and abide with you forever. Another important benefit. The fact of the coming of the Holy Spirit to abide within us. The Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon and empower certain ones that God would choose to lead his people. Some of the prophets, some of the kings. There was an anointing of the Spirit upon them, but they didn't house the Spirit, if you will. They couldn't. You couldn't be born again without the resurrection. These are all important truths. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 are rather exciting because it talks about the real you, who you are, and where you are. I alluded to it at the beginning of our coming together this morning and made the comment that we've been raised up together with Christ. Well, I don't just make those things up. It was written long before I came on the scene, and probably you as well. And I've been called Ancient of Days, but I'll tell you, my greater days lie ahead of me. I've not seen anything yet. Can you imagine we're going to live forever? Not in these earth suits. All these earth suits will become dust of the earth, but it's what these earth suits house that's eternal in the heavens. And this is where we need to focus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are quickened means to be made alive. Your spirit has been made new. You have a new you. You should shout. You should rejoice at the new you. Do you like the new you?
Amen.
Do you go to look in the mirror and say, oh, what an ugly critter? Nah. Nah, you don't want to say that. Mess up God's good work for your life. You're beautiful in Him. That's why Paul said, I know no one after the flesh. Because there's a beauty about a believer. There's an inward, wonderful beauty that reflects His nature, His character, His attributes, His personality. So we've been raised up together with Him. Not separated from Him. We used to be separated from Him, but now we've been made alive together with Him. If we weren't raised up, we'd have no hope of being raised up. And not only that, but it says in verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Where you are spiritually is way beyond anything that you probably think about most of the time. We just kind of take it for granted as we get comfortable with our faith, and we just kind of take things for granted. So days like today are good to just pick out these key little benefits. And they're not little really, but they're major. When you're having a bad hair day, either cut it or read this verse of scripture. And you can't stay in that bad hair day when you realize where you are spiritually in Christ, in heavenly places. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not here now, but the Holy Ghost is. But at His right hand, spiritually, you're right there at His side. Is that awesome or what? And what is the result of that? We don't see things from an earthly perspective anymore. We have the capacity to see things from God's perspective. And that means freedom, liberty, victory, power, triumph, overcoming, winning in life. When I was first went in the military, I saw these macho guys. First thing they did is when they got a little bit of liberty, they went out and got their first tattoo, Born to Lose, with a skull on their arm. And I said, what a pathetic hope. They marked their bodies, Born to Lose. Man, that's like cattle branding. You're born to go to the slaughterhouse, bud. You're going to be somebody's steak in the afternoon. So when you get born again, you get a spiritual tattoo, Born to Win. Born to overcome. Winners and overcomers, more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. The one who said He always causes us to triumph in Christ. All because of this thing called the resurrection. Man, to be raised up with Him. The third benefit is it ensures our second resurrection. Did you know there are two for each of us as believers? You're here today because of the first one, your first one, when you got raised up from darkness to light, from death to life spiritually. But there's another one that's going to take place. Either when we go to be with the Lord or the Lord comes to fetch us, whichever comes first. I think both of them are really a good thing. But we will have a glorified body, a body that will never age, never get sick, never be diseased. It'll be a resurrected body like what Jesus had. Can you imagine if there had been no resurrection, how his new body, did you ever wonder how did he get in the upper room when all the disciples are in there gathered? And they were locked in because they were afraid that they were going to be killed also. And they were all closed in and locked in, and suddenly, shoo, right through the wall, here comes Jesus. Would you freak out? Yeah? I mean, just like right there beside you, as some being just came right through the wall, and suddenly he's right there. Oh, you doubt, Thomas? That'd be the new you with a new bod. That's the second resurrection, when we have glorified bodies that will never age, never die, ever again. All because of Christ's resurrection, these things are possible and attainable and real. I have a piece of music that I brought today that's going to finish the message. And Tyler, did Faith show you where it was?
Yep.
Okay, so you got to follow it with the easy worship. I pulled the words up with it as well. Okay, I'm going to go sit down and just let this song hopefully be a blessing to you and finish this message for you this morning.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, and buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. He's living, he loved me, dying, he saved me, and buried, he cared. My sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the stone will wave from the door. sins far away, rising justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever.